This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
The Killer Bee!
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, big stuff? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham, Brian behind the glass, snarky Brian behind the glass. It is a Thursday edition of the Killer Bees. What are you talking about?
Oh, you noticed?
How is he being snarky? Well, I gave Brian a lot of grief yesterday because Brian didn't work for the first 2 days of the week. He was, you know, reeling from the Super Bowl, and didn't do a show tweet. What else was I
about my parking? Mouth? That's the usual.
Neither here nor there.
You're so, always a bee about my parking.
Today's
a bee. Wow.
Well, it's killer bee.
Hey, yeah, killer bee.
Well, that's what you meant.
Yeah, like, that's obviously what I meant.
We call each other that daily. But he said this is a show. I can't talk. Let me lick my lips real quick.
You're not ready.
This is a show tweet about the Killer Bees. Their show features Pac-Man Joel and Jeremy Branham. They will say stuff starting at 3, usually after 3.
Yeah, I guess it depends on when the triple G's get done or
so
the double G's.
They will say stuff around 3. Bregman gone, Rockets win, Bad Take Boulevard, etc. Into the Killer Bees show tweet. A lot of snarkiness there from Brian. And because Brian didn't work the first 2 days of the week, because he hardly worked yesterday, I put a lot of work on his plate today. I have had about 100 sound bites for today's show.
They're all ready.
Yeah, so I'm happy that you're still on your feet because I worked you out before the show.
It was difficult. Cherries of Fire playing in the background the entire time I was pulling audio, but I pulled through.
Yeah, so we got lots to get to today. The Rockets played a basketball game. Kevin Durant looked really good in said basketball game. The Texans introduced their new offensive coordinator today, which he kind of reminds me like the dude from Always Sunny in Philadelphia, the short guy. What's his name? Do you know? Do you watch
Always
Sunny?
No, I didn't watch that show, no.
The short guy. I forget his name. I'm not great with character names.
The character name or the actor name?
The character name.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't help you there.
I thought it was Charlie, but I could
be
wrong.
Well, there was an actor on that show named Charlie, so I was just going to guess that because that's the only name I know. Yeah, the guy that did the conspiracy board.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Charlie.
Okay, yeah. He reminds me of Charlie, and he also reminds me of the social media guy. I think its name's Brilliantly Dumb. Like, they sound alike. So that's who Nick Cayley reminded. Those were my takeaways from the Nick Cayley press conference. But he had football things to say. And since we are a sports show, we'll play you the football things he said a little bit later. It is Bad Take Boulevard. This might be the greatest Bad Take Boulevard of all time. It was certainly the most enjoyment I've ever gotten putting together Bad Take Boulevard.
Is that right?
So it will be a lot of that is right, yes.
Okay, I'm just verifying.
Yes, it is right.
It's just conversational.
It is right. Those are the three things happening in sports, really. Kevin Durant, Nick Cayley, and then the big one that happened late in the fourth quarter of yesterday's game, Alex Bregman signs with the Boston Red Sox $120 million for 3 years. He's deferring, apparently, $10 million of the $40 million. I don't know when they're going to pay it out. I don't know what his AAV is going to look like because it's the stupidest rule in baseball that it doesn't already factor in anyways. But a massive, massive contract. Alex Bregman is gone, no longer an Astro. He's reunited with Alex Cora, who a lot of Astros do not like.
Yeah, no, and you look at it and you say, good on him. He got what he was looking for, at least in the short term. Like, I don't think the Astros were ever going to come close to that. So if he was able to get $40 million, and there's opt-outs in you know, after every year of the three years, and obviously the last year he can go wherever he wants, but then good on him to get that much money in a short-term deal. He said he didn't want to take less than the 6 years he was looking for, but evidently he changed his mind. I cannot believe he got that much money even for one season, but again, I think that there's a lot of emotions as we've seen from the way that people are reacting to this, but from an Alex Bregman perspective, you can't be mad at him for taking the most money that someone was going to throw at him, and that's a lot of coin for a season.
Yeah, I think he wanted to play for a contender as well. Baseball guy, so it doesn't surprise me that he might have had desire to go to a historic franchise like the Boston Red Sox. I'm not surprised where he landed. You know, Cora loved him. Cora was very, very honest with what he thought of Alex Bregman as a player, really all offseason. Paid him tons of compliments to the media. So it is a fit. It makes some sense. There's some talk there about what position he plays. Like, the immediate thought is that he plays second, but Cora's like, hey, we might have a conversation with Devers because he's not a good third baseman. Devers is to third base what Jose Altuve is to second. A disaster. So they might want to play Bregman at third, make Devers a DH, which might make Masakata Yoshida available.
That's what they were saying. They were saying, I was checking some of the Boston websites and different people commenting on this from Boston, and they were saying ideally what they'd like is Bregman to play third, Devers to DH, and then how did you pronounce it?
I don't know if it was right, but his last name's Yoshida.
Yeah, Yoshida to be available possibly in trades before the regular season starts. They've got, I guess, several of their top prospects are middle infielders. So, you know, and Trevor Story's in the mix. I guess he has to be, right? Because they're paying
him a
boatload of money. So he's going to have to start the season starting at shortstop. I don't know how much range he's got left and how good he is defensively. But I know that, you know, they're stacking up with a lot of big bats in their infield.
Texture says, don't forget Bregman and Walker Buehler share a racehorse. I didn't know that they shared a racehorse together.
Yeah, they raced in one of the Derby races this year. They were both in on it.
I hope it didn't place. I hope it lost.
You think his horse is better than a salsa?
Probably. If his horse was running in a Derby of any kind, it's better than a salsa.
If the horse is just upright, it's better than a salsa?
Yes. If the horse is not glue, it's better than a salsa. Because his salsa is awful. It was on the clearance racks at the grocery stores 3 years ago.
Did he rename it?
It's Wild Soul.
That's what it's called. Wild Soul.
Yeah, because it used to be called Braggy Bomb.
Yeah, like Spanish for sun, which I don't think Wild Soul is going to do great in Boston.
No, I don't. Yeah, I don't think they eat a lot of salsa there. No, I would guess
chowder and drink Dunkin'.
Yeah. Lobster roll. I don't think you could put salsa in lobster rolls.
Yeah, that'd be terrible. I do like a lobster. I actually like lobster rolls and chowder.
Oh, I do too.
Chowder is good though.
Love chowder.
I haven't had chowder, but lobster rolls are great.
You've never had chowder?
No, I've never had chowder.
That is surprising.
Oh, boy.
That's a shocker.
Lobster rolls are elite, though. I love good lobster rolls.
How have you never had chowder?
I live in Houston.
You look like you appreciate good food.
Man. Have you ever been to Boston, Brian?
No, I haven't.
Okay. That was like one of the first things we did when we got to Boston.
Love
the first
chowder.
Time.
Yeah. Danny DeVito is the short guy on Always Sunny. That's a good point. I wasn't talking about that short guy.
I was talking about the shortest guy.
That's
yes.
A good point. You semanticed me. You're right. I am wrong. Danny DeVito is the short guy. I meant the other short guy, the younger short guy. I think you knew what I meant, but you got me. I'll concede the L there. Hey guys, where's the podcast from this morning? Day after Bregman signs with Boston, and someone decides to stop updating the feed. Why the face? Why are you asking the talent? Email the bosses. Email the suits. Don't email us. We have nothing to do with that. I haven't touched a computer that's not mine in my life. You think I touched these little measly computers down the halls? No. I'm not. I don't touch these computers that are here. I leave that up to the non-talents like Brian McDonald and Abigail, who was working the show before. They can touch the computers. I ain't doing it. How about the interns? What are they up to?
Right now.
I'm insulted that we were asked that.
Yeah, there's two of them out there. We can find some work for both of them.
So here's the question that I had for Houston, Blaine, because I'm curious your thought. Actually, I know your answer. The Boston Red Sox come to minimum. I think it's in August. Will you boo Alex Bregman?
I personally, I'm not going to boo Alex Bregman. I'm not that big booing kind of person anyway. But I'm not going to boo Alex Bregman. I hope people don't boo Alex Bregman simply for the fact that this is something that was a business decision. This is something that, you don't know all the details. And sure, there are a lot of people that were hanging, you know, somewhat on the edge of their seat, at least early on, and then hoping that Alex Bregman would be an Astro and stay an Astro for life. But we all know it's a business. And at a certain point, the Astros are going to draw a line in the sand, and they were very clear about what they were willing to pay. didn't seem like they wanted to go a whole lot more than that. And at the end of the day, they parted ways. Be thankful for the time that he had here and the memories that he created and all the things that he built in terms of his legacy as an Astro. But I, short of saying bad things about the Astros and or, you know, being, you know, somewhat agitated in on his way out the door, I just don't understand booing him.
Whenever he returns, I want the Astros to do the old montage, welcome a former hero back, give him the whole treatment. I hope that the Minute Maid Park, it's not Minute Maid Park anymore. I hope that the Dyke is sold out. I hope everybody's on their feet. And then I want everybody to boo the hell out of him. I want him to be booed mercifully. I want him to remember the boos and echo through his eardrums for the rest of the season about he leaving Houston, not blaming him for leaving Houston because he's being paid handsomely, but the Astro fans should pay him back for bolting the city. Jose Altuve took a discount. You didn't. You get the boo treatment. Jose Altuve gets the statue. He gets the love. You get the boos. I hope they boo him to no end.
Yeah, I mean, it's everybody's prerogative. I don't understand. I don't understand it. I mean, what is there to boo? I mean, yes. He left, right. But he left because he didn't get the offer or a similar offer from the team that he was just currently playing with. So if he left you because you weren't willing to do what another team was willing to do, then I don't understand the boo. Now, if he picks a fight with someone or, you know, there's a whole bunch of jawing and things like that, then boo away. Then go at him. Then attack him because there's reason to.
Yeah, he left. He left. Jose Altuve took a discount. Why didn't you, Alex Bregman? You don't want to take discounts? You get booed by us. It doesn't mean anything. We're not threatening him. It's booing. It's fun. It's sports. It's entertainment. Booing's actually a sign of endearment. You don't boo bums. I hope Breggy gets all the boos. Breggy boob or Breggy bomb? Nuh-uh. Breggy boos when he comes to the Dyke.
You booing Tuck too, right?
He got traded. He didn't make that decision.
Okay. All right.
How is that anywhere nearly the same?
Well, because you knew at the end of the day that they were going to that the Astros weren't going to pay him anyway, so they traded him before they got nothing for him. But now he's playing for another team, so wouldn't that constitute booing because he's for another team?
I don't view trading and rejecting an offer as the same.
But he did reject an offer. If you're believing reports, he rejected an offer. They tried to buy out, you know, like they have with other guys, his final arbitration years plus some free agency.
Somebody texts, mercifully blue. Yeah, I choked. My bad. Mercilessly. Not mercifully. My bad.
Mercifully boo would not be
booing.
I was
saying a lot of words in a short period of time, and I botched one. That's on me. My bad. I'll try to do better the rest of the way. I guess you could make the semantic argument that he did reject the long-term deal, but he also is bringing you back a far greater return. Kyle Tucker brought you back your starting third baseman. He brought you back your fifth starter. Fingers crossed. He brought you back the aircraft carrier known as Cam Smith. Alex Bregman, because the Astros were over the competitive balance tax, he brought you back a fourth rounder, bad salsa, and, well, good memories. There were good memories.
There's a few good memories.
There were some good memories. I will give him that. There were good memories.
Yeah, I just, like, I understand booing a guy like Gerrit Cole because the way Gerrit Cole left, because I thought that he was very harsh. He was obviously arrogant in the way he handled it. He put the Boris hat on right away and said, I don't work for this team anymore or whatever. I think you were there for that. But, to me, the whole bottom line is kind of how you exit, too. And the way Gerrit Cole exited, I can understand it. If you're Kyle Tucker and you were traded, I don't think you boo him. Just like I don't think you boo Alex Bregman unless it was like, you know, even Steven, the same offer coming from both the Astros and the Red Sox, and he chose the Red Sox. Now I can understand you being a little scorned when he leaves.
Boo the Bregman booty. 713-780-ESPN.
Booty
is behind.
Work on it.
It could also be booty's also like the reward, yeah, right?
It's
too.
Like
so it could
Blunder,
it could be a double
Pirates.
Entendre. I'm over here making double entendres. I don't even realize I'm doing it.
You're Pirates saying you're a booty. Poet and you didn't even know it?
I got bars. Why is that so funny to you?
Bun Branham. It's got bars.
Bun JB. 713-780-ESPN. Are you booing Bregman? We'll get to the Rocket Suns. We'll get to Kevin Durant, the best bad take boulevard ever, coming up today as well. We'll also get to the Nick Caley press conference. A football guy saying football things. We're a sports social. We'll play football sounders.
Football is football.
Well, was that Slowick?
Football is football.
Oh, well done. His predecessor. No, his successor. This is his successor. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Busy show. Are you booing Bregman when he comes back? Do you wish him well? Do you hope he plays well in Boston as well? And also, we'll get to that a little bit later. 713-780-3776. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on Twitter at ESPN975. Blankers at Pac-Man Joel. Brian at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. We are the Bees, ESPN975, ESPN925.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Probably the greatest Alex Bregman moment in his time with these. Look, I tip my cap to Bregman. I am thankful for what he did for the organization. Greatest third baseman, I think, bar none in franchise history. Some people were coming at me on Twitter today, like Doug Rader.
It was clearly Morgan Insberg.
Morgan Insberg. Didn't he finish like third for MVP voting once?
Yeah, he did. He had one really good year.
He had one really good year.
The only possible argument?
See, I think okay, this is...
I mean, Kamey won his MVP in San Diego, though.
I know he did. I'm saying.
This is sacrilegious in Houston. Ken Caminiti as an Astro, overrated. I'm going to get hate mail.
His offensive numbers, certainly. His defense was elite.
Yeah, well, for sure.
Yeah, I think
his offensive numbers were not great. How much of that is the dome? How much of that is him not on the juice yet, maybe? Who knows?
Oh, he's going to – what's it whenever you do something after death,
post-mortem?
Post-mortem.
I think there might be an H word there, too, but let's go post-mortem.
Oh, posthumous.
There you go. He's going to do that to you and sue you.
That's fine. I don't have much to get.
You better say allegedly.
Allegedly. There we go.
He's going to sue you for all your worth, $100, and all your debt.
I don't know if I don't know if it's that much.
The Cammy was more the love of, like, the grit and the aura of Caminiti, Baggy, and Bish, and that whole kind of tight-knit group, than all the stats. And the defense plays into it, too. But I just think that there was just that he was beloved because he was those guys all in that same kind of group coming up together. But, yeah, his stats were never great. That's why I said, I mean, is he the only guy that would at least be in the conversation?
Maybe Doug Rader. Enos Cabell was here for a while.
Oh, that's right, Enos Cabell. Yeah.
Caminiti's probably second. Probably second. Without, like, doing the stat muse side by side. But Caminiti's best year as an Astro, like, offensively, 18 homer year. Now, he was injured a lot of that season. But Caminiti never had a massive, massive season with the Astros. In the seasons that he was at his best, he actually missed some games with injuries and things like that. He was unbelievable in San Diego. And I think a lot of times when we look back at Caminiti's career, I think we give him a little bit of the San Diego credit when we think about him in Houston. But if you just go year by year, his numbers with the Astros, he's nowhere near Bregman. Nowhere near Alex Bregman. But yeah, I still want to boo Bregman. And most of this is out of respect. I think Bregman, a gamer who's a ball player, who's a dirtbag, he's going to appreciate it. He understands it's part of the business. And then when he retires, we welcome him back to the dike and we love on him again. We love on him again. But while he's playing with I hate the Red Sox. Y'all like the Red Sox? I hate the Red Sox. I'm not going to be there, and I'm a media member.
Wait, you're not media.
You're not media.
Yeah. I'm not paying
Keep
to go to the game.
Consistent.
I'm not going to pay to go to the game. So if I went to the game, I'd be credentialed. So I couldn't boo with a credential.
As media.
Yeah, I know.
Sometimes
you got to sink to Lowe's for free tickets.
Catch 22, Brian.
Yeah. How do you get into the arenas when you call Cougar basketball games?
That's a little different. That's like my
You don't
alter
have a media
ego.
Pass?
I have an alter ego. I'm like bipolar when it comes to my professional career.
Well, but okay.
I'm obnoxious Branham with the Killer Bees, and then I'm professional Jeremy Branham whenever I'm calling the Cougs.
This is tough for me.
Jeremiah Branham.
Don't ever say that.
As the lawyer for Jeremy here, but when he's calling Cougs games, he's actually a team representative.
Oh, that's probably true.
Yeah.
I do represent the University of Houston.
So
when I do
you
that.
Are a team representative, not a working member of the media at that point.
And I represent U of H far greater than I represent ESPN Houston.
I mean, bar's low, but sure.
713-780-ESPN. All these softies are mad at me that I want to boo Bregman. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Let's see if Chris is a softie. Chris, you're in the hive with the Bees. What's up?
Yeah, Jeremy, thanks. I would like to be at that first game when he comes back to Houston, and I will stand up and give him his props for all the good years, the 9 years that he gave us in an Astros uniform. I think my first memory of Alex was in that playoff series against Boston, you know, and he hit that home run, and I'm like, okay, this Astros team is for real. So I think he'll do well in Boston, but after that, I'm going to boo him. He's a Red Sox, and I don't blame him for taking the money. No. I mean, if Boston is stupid enough to pay over market value for a 30-year-old who hit 260 last year and had surgery on his arm, go for it. I'm glad they signed him. I did not want Alex back here. You know, everyone says on paper that our team, the Astros, would have been better if Alex was here. I will disagree with that because it's on paper. I think this will give an opportunity for one of the young guys to maybe have a chance to step up in that void if the opportunity presents itself. I'm glad that Alex is gone. I wish him all the best. I'm so thankful the Astros did not overpay. You know, we offered him a generous deal, in my opinion, with the 6 years, and nobody wanted to do that with the kind of money that he was asking for AAV. So, you know, Boston, I think they, you know, should feel stupid for bidding. They bet themselves, were bidding against themselves. So, you know, I wish him all the best. Know our feelings, but I'm glad he's gone.
We got a booer. We got a boo. Chris is going to boo. Chris is going to applaud, pay his respects, and then he's going to boo him. Going to boo Bregman, 713-780-ESPN, Brandon T. I will cheer for him and for all he did during the tribute video. After that, I'm straight booing him. He's now a Red Sox. He's now an enemy. I don't like the Red Sox, Blankers.
Yeah, I'm not going to pull for him per se. I just don't feel the need. I mean, because 9 years, especially in professional sports today with all the moving pieces with contracts and big money and free agency, 9 years in one place, I think that's a really solid run, and what he did here should be appreciated. I mean, I'm going to root against him the minute that the game starts. Sure, I just don't feel the need to boo him.
Do you wish him well in Boston?
I actually don't. No, I hope that he falls flat on his face.
You do. I hope he's awful.
Yeah, I hope he's terrible in Boston. It's not going to go that far. I'm not going to boo him, but I'm not going to hope that he has a breakout season because then it starts to make not that it should make him look really bad, but the Astros made a choice. I don't want the Astros to look bad in this deal, and I don't think that they will. I just think that AAV alone for just that 1 year was like, when I saw the numbers, I was like, oh my God, then you got to take it. You got to go. But thank God. I'm kind of like Chris in that regard. I mean, I didn't want the Astros to pay that.
Coug Blaze on Twitch. Bregman was doing the Garrett Cole-ish last postseason game. Come on. He was kind of weird about how he handled the postgame. He's kind of like, foreshadowed that his time was done. He had like the IG post where like, didn't he like chunk deuces Houston? Like he was kind of,
I don't recall that, but
yeah, he did like a goodbye post, like the day after they were eliminated and people were like, oh, he's gone.
Yeah. Maybe he did a thanks to Houston or something.
Yeah. Something like that.
Okay.
Something like that. But I remember in the post game after they were eliminated, he's like, yeah.
Is that an exact quote?
Yeah. I thought Garrett Cole got too much grief, actually. For
Is
his
it just because of the Boris hat? Is that
probably.
Because I didn't think anything he actually said was like all that.
Oh, come on.
What?
The first comment that he made when the Astros PR staff wanted him to speak to the media, and he said something to the effect of, really, do I have to? I don't work for this team anymore.
Yeah, he was mad they lost the World Series.
I think it was, I mean, how long is he removed from not getting in the game and then blowing it?
Less than an hour?
So he hasn't processed that yet. I don't blame him for that. And, I mean, did the word choice he used sound a little, you know, bratty? Sure, I get that. But I don't blame an athlete for still being in the moment and still being hot. But the Boris hat, I think, is where I guess it would cross the line for some people. But whatever, it's a hat.
He also wasn't supposed to be filmed in that moment. Like, I forget the guy's name, who actually is in prison now, I think, for being a pedophile.
Oh, yeah.
He wasn't supposed to be filming that. And he filmed it and posted it anyways, breaking policy. And,
was it in locker room or at the...
It was in locker room away from the designated area.
Okay.
Yeah, like it wasn't even supposed to hit the public access. And it did. And it's like, oh, okay, like he's the awful guy. I actually defend Garrett Cole there a bit. 713-780-ESPN. Bregman will never put up numbers in Boston that make us say, yeah, worth $40 million. That's AR Platinum. Boston is a hitter's park. It is the second best offensive ballpark in baseball last season. Number one? Minute. It's not a trick question.
Cincinnati?
Coors. Coors, number one. It's like 112. The greater you get away from 100 on the north side of it, the better it is. It's like 112. I think Fenway was like 107. Minute Maid plays fair. It's 100.
Help me out here. For ballpark factors, when they factor in like the best hitting park, are they tracking? I'm guessing it's a combination of all these things.
It's a combination of everything.
I didn't know if it was an OPS thing, if it was home runs, if it was average.
No, it's all of it.
Okay.
There's actually.
Because the batting average is still absurd in Coors Field. Just look at guys like Arenado and Tulowitzki, guys that leave there. But the home runs aren't as crazy as they used to be.
Because the dimensions
That's the
are
reason
massive.
I ask, yeah. Because like, of the humidor.
Arizona's a slightly pro offensive ballpark, because I actually looked this up today because I was wondering about Christian Walker's stuff, and Arizona is a plus offensive ballpark, but it's actually a negative home run ballpark. It's like a 101 park factor, but it's a 98 home run ballpark, which average is 100. So it's like, oh, maybe Christian Walker's gonna hit a lot of dongs here. Astros are like 100 normal, and then like their home run's like 105 because of they have smaller dimensions.
Yeah, they're saying that Bregman should have a big year in Fenway. We're saying Paredes should have a big year in Minute Maid. The last time we said that was the trade that we loved when it happened, that aside for a play at first base, didn't help the Astros a lot during their World Series run.
What are you talking about?
Who's the guy from the Orioles they traded for that I really
wanted? Trey Mancini.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he should really tear it up in Minute Maid. Didn't happen.
I wanted Trey Mancini so bad.
I did too.
And I was justified because I wanted him for his glove. I wanted him for his defense,
exactly.
And he made that play
we
that basically clinched the World Series for the Astros. And I was justified.
He ate that ball too. Like, I mean, we obviously give him credit for making the play, but it wasn't like it was this pristine fielding job by Trey Mancini. He basically just ate the ball.
Yeah, smothered it, yeah.
He didn't field the ball. The ball fielded him.
Yes. He happened to be standing in the path of the ball is what happened.
713-780-ESPN. Are you booing Bregman? Do you wish Bregman well? 713-780-3776. It is the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Boo Bregman or not, 713-780-ESPN. People act like he did. He fought for our country. It's crazy. On the text line, so Bregman joins Cora. Now the Red Sox have more cheaters on their team than we do. Do they get booed when they start slumping? Red Sox are notorious cheaters, as is Adam Cora.
That's the video coordinator guy?
Wouldn't shock me if they start cheating again next year. If they're trying to get Bregman to play at a $40 million level, the last time he was anywhere close to a $40 million player, when he was cheating through his fins.
Yeah, I mean, you ask Mookie and JD Martinez and the video coordinator when they had their best career years, they were in Boston.
Yeah.
And then the Dodgers hired that video coordinator, and Mookie kind of had an uptick.
Sure did. Yeah, JT Watkins is worth 50% of Mookie Betts' contract. Boston needs to find a JT Watkins if Alex Bregman's going to be anywhere near a $40 million player. Texter, once Soto signed, the Astros knew they'd never be able to pay Tucker. I blame Soto for all of this. He ruined baseball. Those big contracts usually don't work. Like, I've talked to a lot of people too. Well, the Astros, you know, this is not good. They're not signing all these players, blah, blah, blah. The Astros are never going to be a team that wins because of their finances. They're never going to outspend teams to win. When they win, what do? They outsmart teams. When the Astros won in 17, that's because they outsmarted everybody, didn't outspend them. When they won in 22, outsmarted, not outspent. The golden era weren't built off the biggest payroll in baseball. Yes, it got closer and closer to the top five, and a couple of those years it was in the top five, but they weren't winning because of their spending. They were winning because of their smarts.
Yeah, I mean, they made a lot of cagey moves. They were willing to pull the trigger on the big move when it had to be made. You know, even the years that they didn't win the World Series, the fact that they were maybe the most dominant baseball team that we've seen in this city ever was the 19 team. they were loaded from top to bottom, and they were stacked with talent that was acquired along the way and put together in such a way that, yeah, they didn't have the budgets, the Yankees and now the Mets are in there too, but the Yankees and the Dodgers in particular, and they found ways to win. And then a lot of times you see the prospects that aren't top 100 prospects end up being prospects that turn out pretty good for the Astros. So you got to love everything that the organization did to create this entire run that they've been on.
I'm never going to boo Bregman, but I definitely don't want him to do well in Boston. I want him to suck so the Red Sox look like idiots for paying him so much money. It's a lot of money they're paying him to be a third-place team in the American League East.
I'd be real interested if he gets off to another slow start.
Probably. I mean, it's notorious for it.
Yeah.
409, Josh, can y'all believe all these other Major League Baseball teams signing 2017 cheaters? Altuve didn't participate, and he's the only one they've re-signed, right? No one in baseball cared about that. Like, they talk a big game. Oh, you know, Cody Bellinger, Aaron Judge, they all talk a big game. But let's take a look at actions, which really matter, not words. George Springer signed a massive contract. Carlos Correa signed a massive contract. Carlos Beltran was hired as the Mets manager. They fired him. The Yankees brought him back. Alex Cora was suspended for a year. Then they brought him back. A.J. Hinch is managing again in baseball. The actions do not care about the sign stealing. Do you know why? Because in the inner secrets of Major League Baseball, they know that 75% of teams, at minimum, all had something similar. I don't know why we haven't learned that.
Well, and I think that the teams that were crying the loudest were the teams that were looking for a scapegoat because they lost along the way to a team that was still extremely talented. You look at the Yankees, you look at the Dodgers with the guys that were, you know, whining after the fact. But when you start, like you said, when you start listening to some of the podcasts and talking to the players themselves, the players knew that almost every team in baseball was doing it. They knew the Dodgers were doing it. The Brewers and Eric Kratz was out there explaining that they knew the Dodgers were doing it. There was all the different stories about the Yankees doing it. But when they start trying to point the finger that it cost them a chance to win, or Brian Cashman says it cost them a World Series title, then there's going to be more attention drawn to it.
Yeah, it cost them a World Series title when they were getting shut out.
Yeah.
They were getting shut out, being beat 1-0. And those signs that were being stolen were the reasons we got shut out.
And remember
You're an idiot.
That it wasn't like the year after that he made that statement. He made that last year.
Yeah.
To what was it, GQ? Or,
I think he did it again this year.
Yeah. And he just kept, you know, saying, oh, it's not that we've fallen short for all these years under my watch. We would have had at least one more World Series if not for the cheating. Oh, yeah. Come on, man.
I think he says it, though, to justify him still having his job.
Oh, without
because
question.
I mean, he does get graded based on World Series titles. He is the GM of the New York Yankees, so he tries to justify that one as, oh, well, I would have won if they weren't doing that. You guys were doing that. Joe Girardi told the world on MLB Network the schemes that you had. This texture is texted in 10 times. The Breggy stare in the dugout is my favorite celebration. We got it. You like the Bregman stare. That was a good celebration, though. You are right. I was a fan of that one as well. Did you like the ball four?
Yeah, I was going to say the ball four one or just the stare, because he had multiple variations.
Yeah, I like the stare more than the ball four thing.
Okay. I like the stare better. I mean, the ball four is that the ball four, the four thing is that UFC?
No, I think it's You Should Have Walked Me.
Okay. I thought it was like Who's the UFC guy, the redhead that everybody
Conor
hates?
McGregor?
Conor McGregor. I thought Conor McGregor, because he used to do the Conor McGregor walk, too. And then he would do the...
The closest that I've seen to this was actually Anderson Silva, I think.
Okay.
I don't know if there's any correlation there. I don't know. A texture, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. It's a good point. Astros felt like they had to cheat to catch up. What do you think about Bregman's leadership? Everybody's like, here we go again with the leadership thing, which it's very funny. Remember when Carlos Correa started making mound visits, who was a Boris client? He started doing it in his final year. His final year before he entered free agency. When did you notice Alex Bregman start making mound visits this year?
Contract year.
Final year going into free agency. It seems to be a theme of the Scott Boras guys. Hey, here's how you can fake leadership a little bit. You go to the mound and you make sure everybody's watching, and now you're going to be labeled a leader. A lot of people are saying, well, the Astros lost another leader. Here we go again. I remember this with Carlos Correa. There was people in this city saying the Astros would never recover from losing the leadership of Carlos Correa. I thought it was comical at the time, and then the Astros proved that right by doing what? Winning a World Series the very first year. They lost the leader of Carlos Correa.
I mean, I think they were talking to Chaz today about it, and he was like, you know, in terms of the leadership, we'll just figure it out in the next week or so. Okay, I don't think you're going to figure out in the next week or so, but I think that you've got plenty of time to figure out who your leader is going to be. From a seniority standpoint, Altuve could be that guy, even if he doesn't want to be that guy or doesn't seem like that guy. Leadership by example is one thing, and then they can figure out the rest of it. But this, it's just a new era of Astros baseball, but they still have a really good team, and they're going to be just fine. I mean, I think that if you want to talk about him being a gamer, you want to talk about his intensity, his work ethic, the amount of extra time that he puts in between the cages and fielding and all the things that he did when he was here, that's one thing. But if you just want to, you want to single out leadership, there's plenty of guys that are leaders, want to be leaders, can be leaders.
I think leadership in professional sports is overrated. I'm not saying it does not matter. I'm not saying it's a zero. Yes, it's nice to have leadership versus not having leadership. I just think that we overrate it a ton, a ton.
You think it varies by sport?
Yeah, I do. I've never really thought long and hard about like which sport I think is more important to have that leadership. I would say baseball right off the cuff. Right off the cuff is the least.
I think football might be the most.
Football, basketball is also important because, like, you know, you need to be in unison. You know, your best player, you know, you would love for that guy to be your leader because he can kind of lead by example. He has the pelts on the wall. He's your best player, so people look up to him. So it probably does change based on sport, but I would have baseball a distant third.
Yeah, I think
distant third.
I think football's one because, you know, the head coach can only do so much, but in the huddle, and we hear about guys like D'Amico and JJ and guys that, you know, could control the guys in the huddle, in the locker room when the coaches aren't always there. And I think that it matters in football. I've seen it in basketball. I mean, we talked about it the other day, whether it's the Fred VanVleet situation and the leadership that he brings and Dylan Brooks, to in other situations when you get a guy like a Russell Westbrook that comes into the locker room and basically says, I don't care if I'm the number one guy on the roster or the 12 guy on the roster. If you tell me the plane leaves at noon, you damn well better be there at noon. Practice starts at 4. You damn well better be there at 4 because that's the way we're going to handle our business.
Yes, but if we assume that all those guys you just listed are the greatest leaders in the world, I'm not saying that they are, but let's make the assumption that they are. J.J. Watt never led his team to the AFC Championship game. D'Amico Ryans never did that. The guys you mentioned, Fred VanVleet, has never led the Houston Rockets to the playoffs. So, like, if we're saying that these guys are outstanding leaders, which they are, but what did it get you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, VanVleet got a championship in
Toronto. He wasn't the leader of those teams, though.
He was close. When you talk to guys behind the scenes, no matter who the biggest names were on that team, he was close. But, again, that's why I said I think it matters sport to sport.
No, it definitely matters. It varies based on the sport. I still think that we overrated it in all of those sports. 713-780-ESPN, a texter, Ocho says he doesn't like the leadership thing, too. 100% agree about the leadership being overrated. These are grown men. Lead your dang selves. The dike isn't a thing. It is. It's where the Astros play. Matt Dominguez was clearly better than Alex Bregman. Boo bombs for Breggy. There you go. Eric, not a booer, but hope he stinks. Would love to see Boston react to that slow start. Why would you root for an AL rival? I think that the majority of the city, and I posted on Twitter, I think the majority of the city will not boo Bregman, although it will be interesting to see that first time that he comes here. I don't think that they'll boo Bregman, but I don't think they'll be rooting for Bregman.
It's a fine line, and I think there's obviously going to be kids that loved Alex Bregman that are still going to be rooting for Alex Bregman. I think from a fan perspective, there's going to be some diehards that just loved those core guys that will be pulling for them probably unless they're playing the Astros. But I think for the most of us, it's like, okay, you're now on the enemy. No matter who you play, you're the enemy, so I don't want you to do well. And because of the fact that this was such a kind of a high attention-getting situation, I really do. I hope he falls flat on his face offensively and has a bad year.
Yeah, I hope he doesn't get hurt.
I don't want to wish any injury.
I want him to just be bad on his own merit. I don't want him to have the injury excuse. We don't and never did boo Springer. Okay, valid point. Booing a multimillionaire who left on good terms is sassy AF. Yeah. Yes, I agree with you.
But sassy.
That's my MO. All right, 713-780-3776. Now that the Astros have left, or not the Astros, now that Bregman has left, is the Astros championship window closed? Do you think that this closes it? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
713-780-ESPN. There's a thought. Michael Schwab back in the early parts of the offseason, because he wants the Astros to re-sign everybody. Astros would have a $1 billion payroll. Michael Schwab had an unlimited amount of money, and he was the general manager, the owner of the team. He said that the Astros window would be slammed shut if Alex Bregman left in free agency. Has the Astros window been slammed shut? 713-780-3776.
I just don't think so. And I know that this has been flying around with a lot of people, and most people seem to be of the opinion that it's over. And I guess that maybe that's because the only guy standing from the first two World Series titles is Jose Altuve. But other than that, you look at it, that baseball team, and offensively, they've got an above-average offensive baseball team. They've got a good defensive baseball team. They've got good pitching. I mean, I would love to have a little bit of an improvement, whether it's now or before the trade deadline, depending on what happens. I would love to see them get a little extra help in the outfield. But as long as this team is going to compete to make the playoffs and go into the playoffs with a chance to win, I don't think you can say that it's over.
No, I don't think it's over. I think that the Astros still have a good team. Are they championship good? That's always tricky in baseball, because I think the baseball playoffs are a crapshoot. I think if you get in the postseason, you have a better chance to win it all in baseball than in other sports. Like, you're an 8 seed in the NBA playoffs, you got no chance. You have zero chance to win it as an 8 seed. Was it Van Gundy's Knicks that got the closest? They got to the finals.
They lost, and the Heat a couple years ago also got to the finals as an 8 seed.
And that was the COVID year, I want to say.
No, was it not?
I think there was a team bubble year that.
Well, yes, the Heat got to the finals in the bubble, but they also got to the finals like 2 years later.
It was a different year. They were the 8 seed.
Yes.
They got in there.
Yeah, they won their play in. They won the play in and eventually got to the finals and lost.
I think it is very, very difficult. They've never done it, right? I think it's almost impossible for an 8 seed to win the NBA finals. Same thing with the NFL. Like a 7 seed winning it all in the NFL, I think it's very, very difficult to do. I'm not sure
only
if it's ever
one
been done.
6 seed is one of two. The
Giants, one of their 2 years were the last wild card, and the Packers were the wild card that got hot.
Okay,
I thought Jerome Bettis' Steelers were the 6 seed when they won it.
Let's say it's happened a few times in the history of the NFL. So never in the NBA, a few times in the NFL. How many times does a baseball team just barely get into the playoffs and then get hot and go all the way? It's way more likely in baseball than it is in the other sports. So you just got to get into the dance. You got to get a seat to the table.
And even if they don't go all the way, like the Tigers weren't even supposed to make the playoffs last year. They got hot right at the end of the regular season. They got in. They beat the Astros, which a lot of people didn't think was going to happen. And then they were competitive, for the rest of the playoffs. And you're like, I didn't even have them penciled in at any time as a team that was going to have a chance to make the playoffs or do anything. And now everybody's talking about, hey, they've turned the corner. So, yeah, in baseball, when you get hot, you absolutely have a shot.
Yeah, so I don't think that it requires this top-level team to win it all, maybe where some might. Like, do I think these are the 2018-19 Astros? No. No, I don't think that. But do I think that the Astros are capable of winning the division and then getting hot in the postseason and riding that hot streak to a title? Yeah, I think that they're capable of doing that. A lot of things have to break your way. But don't we say that about every champion? Like, unless you're the Dodgers and you've bought the greatest team ever, things have to break your way to win it all. So I think that the Astros could do that. Here are a few reasons why I think they could potentially win a title. Not that I would, like, risk my life for them to win a championship. But I think the top two in their starting rotation could battle anybody's top two in all of baseball. So if those two guys are healthy and pitching well, you can ride that to a deep playoff run. Arrighetti and Blanco. Blanco's kind of who he was. Maybe he even takes a little bit of a step back. He's still a really solid middle-of-the-rotation starter. Arrighetti as a rookie had flashes of being really good. Now, be consistent, try to put it all together, and have less of the bad. the Astros back two guys in the bullpen, and yes, it takes a huge bullpen and a lot of names over the course of 162, but once you get into the playoffs, how often are you using bullpen guy six or seven? Very, very seldom. So you have Hader and Abreu in the back end. If you get into a playoff series, pretty dang good. You have Yordan Alvarez, who could very well be the best offensive player in all of baseball, that I think has a breakout MVP type of year in him. Altuve's getting older, but hang on there, Jose Altuve, as long as you can. And then you've added some pop to this team. Pop that actually plays at Minute Maid Park. Christian Walker, a righty who is pull happy at Minute Maid Park. Isak Paredes, who's pull happier than Christian Walker. If Yiner Diaz, look, Yiner Diaz is a young catcher. Like, do we think we've seen the best of Yiner Diaz? I don't. And you need some things to break your way in the outfield, like maybe one of the youngsters that you're not counting on right now becomes a starter by the end of the season. But yeah, I think that the window is still open. It might not be as wide open as the 18-19 Astros or the 17-22 Astros, but yeah, I think they have a shot.
Well, and here's the thing. You got to get in to have a shot, and I think that most people will look at this and say, whether you want to say it's a three-team race and it's wide open for the American League West, or you want to say the Astros have a legit chance and should win the division, all they got to do is get in. And then the other thing that you have to take into consideration is a lot of people are watching this offseason and saying, hey, now is when your rosters are really set. So now is when we're going to start judging this baseball team. You just have to have an organization and an owner that's willing to support you if you're doing everything on the field that you need to do. If you look like you're a playoff team, if you look like you're either going to win the division or be a wild card, and between now and the trade deadline or as the season progresses, the organization is willing to do what Jim Crane's done in the past, to go out and fortify the roster in some way, to some degree, when you need something, that you can actually improve your stock. We see teams all the time that are kind of wild card-esque or, you know, a decent baseball team. The Padres do it all the time, where they just try to load up and they try and make deals right at the deadline. You can still get better. So it's not like the door is shut on what your roster is when you start and break camp. There's a chance that you can do something in July, too.
Rocky says y'all both trashed Yiner last season, beginning of the season. I'm not sure that's true.
I don't remember that at all.
If he was performing badly, I'm sure I trashed him, but I've always been a Yiner guy.
We were comparing him with Adley Rutschman's numbers and saying, look, he's capable of being a really strong offensive performer.
Maybe he got off to a bad start and he was swinging at everything and wasn't walking. That could be the case, but I'm pro Yiner. 713-780-3776. Paul in Westview, Astros window has been slammed shut. Paul, you're in the high. Why do you think this?
Yeah, hey guys, this team, they don't have the horses, and not only do they not have the horses, they don't have the willingness to spend money because they could have spent some in the off season. They don't have the farm system. This window is shut, and Jim Crane has made it clear he could have spent $17 million a year on Michael Conforto. The Dodgers did that. He would have been an amazing addition for this team, a power hitter, a right fielder with a strong arm. No, they didn't spend that. Even the Rangers just signed JT Chagwal yesterday. Again, not a stud, but he is a $1 billion reliever that surely the Astros could have used. That was a 2 ERA last year who pitched 40-something innings. I mean, but they're not trying to improve this team measurably, and that's evident. So the window's shut. And even if they're in it, who are they going to trade for in the middle of the season? What prospects are they going to use to get somebody? Because they're going to need help. They don't have the depth. The run is over. It's just over.
Paul, are they better at first base than they were last year? Are they better at first base than they were last year? Okay, they got a gold glove first baseman that can hit. So they've already improved at first base. They had a backup plan already in place if Bregman went away, with a guy that they were actually pursuing before he was traded to the Cubs initially anyway, that is still a very good baseball player, both defensively and offensively, that could play third base. So how can you say that they're not trying to improve? They kind of were already prepared for Bregman to walk out the door. Do you think they should have paid him that much money?
I'm telling you, they're not trying to improve because they're worse than last year. That's why, because they lost two better players than the ones who came in the door. So they're not trying to improve. They're just trying to make the appearances, and they're trying to stay under the luxury tax, which I get that as a businessman. I mean, that makes sense. But they could have easily spent $17 million on Mike Conforto like the Dodgers did, but they didn't do it. They are worse than last year. They are. Their outfield's horrible. I mean, I think Chaz will have a better year, but and they're good defensively with their outfield, but, you know, they've got to find some offense. But it's not only that. That's just the nine guys they're going to put out there. That's not even the lack of depth and the lack of prospects in the minors. I mean, that's just opening day, provided nobody gets hurt.
All right. Appreciate good points, Paul. Respect the opinion. Respectfully disagree. Did you not see that the Astros signed Luis Guillermo? Luis Guillermo doesn't move the needle for you, Paul? 713-780-ESPN. Is the Astros window slammed shut now that the Astros' greatest third baseman's going to Boston? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.